I just wanted to speak a bit tonight about how this is something that came to me about how God is so heartbroken for the lost in our community, in our world. And I think that we need to feel that. We need to feel just a fraction of that before we can even start reaching people as well. So, yeah, I'll start by reading Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, the first point I want to make is that we should be burdened for the salvation of lost souls, because the love of Christ compels us. Some of these points that I'm going to make, some of them are some things I've read, some things are something I've thought up. So, if you think I've heard this somewhere before, it might be in a book or on the internet. So I've just made sort of adjusted it to what I'm talking about tonight. So the first time this message came to me was it would have been a good few weeks ago now, when Ian said that he read something on Facebook about a young girl who was a Christian and then turned round and said that she became an atheist. And I saw this post on Facebook and I read it and I had this overwhelming feeling of sadness deep down. You know, we can turn around and we can say, oh, how did that happen? But if that really doesn't make us feel something inside, if we don't feel that sadness deep down, how can we think about reaching the lost? And then again that evening I was driving home. I was driving along Leeds Road, and it's always at the same point on Leeds Road that God gives me a wow moment. I don't know why. But I had a CD on in the car, Bethel CD, and I was just thinking about this and I felt so overwhelmed, so saddened by it. And then there was these lyrics in the song that said, "You delight in showing mercy." And I just thought, wow. You know, we have a God who does not reluctantly show mercy. He doesn't just show it, he wants to show it, and he rejoices in that, and he delights in that. And if we look at verse 4 in the scripture that I've just read, it specifically says that he is rich in mercy. One commentator that I read also explained it as a multitude of mercy. It's not just one bit, but it's great. There's a greatness to his mercy. And I just thought that was so amazing. So now, if we think about how many people are lost in our community, there's so many people who don't know God. Now think about how heartbreaking that is for God. I just think there's so many people in this valley that we should be reaching, and so many people that just need God in their lives, in our own communities, wherever we might live, whether it's in Honley or whether it's in Home Firth or in Leeds or wherever it is. I just think that we just need to feel a fraction of what God feels before we can seriously think about reaching the lost. Because when we know and understand the love and grace and mercy in our own lives, we should want the same for other people. If we read 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." I was listening to a very powerful sermon a few weeks ago, and this girl used this example. She was basically in a car on the way to preach this message, and she was in very slow-moving traffic, and her eyes just locked with somebody walking down the street. And God said to her at that moment, "You need to go and tell him the truth. You need to give him the truth." And she thought, "Can somebody else do it? I don't want to do that." And nobody, God didn't send anybody else. So she said to a friend who was driving, "This is going to sound crazy. I know we're already running late. We've been stuck in traffic, but we need to turn around. I have to go back and I have to speak to this person." So she got out of the car and she went up to him and she said, "This is all I have." I was going to hand him a Bible. He said, "This is all I have, but please take it." And he said, "No." And let me just find myself in my notes. And then this man's eyes filled with tears. And he says, "No, I can't take it." And she said, "Of course you can. Please take it." And he said, "No, I'm an atheist." And she said, "Okay, but just please take it." "No, I'm not going to take it. I can't." So she thought, "Okay, I respect that. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away." And then she started walking away and she thought, "No, I'm going to turn around again." And she said, "No, please take it." And said, "Well, if you're not going to, I'm going to put it on the floor and I'm going to leave it." And he said, "No, take it and give it to someone who does need it." And then as that moment happened, as she started to walk away, God spoke to her and just said, "That is how I feel. I've tried giving it to people. I've tried saying, take it, please. And people don't take it." And that absolutely broke her heart. You know, there's so many people that need saving from a dark world. There's so many people who just turn around and say no, but Jesus died for it. So, what does this mean? This means that we have to do something. We should beg people to take the truth, but we need to know the truth and we need to take it to people. But when we take it to people, we have to know it. Because if we don't, people will question whether we believe it enough to act it out and believe it enough to give our lives for it. This is something, I can't remember exactly where I read this, but it said, lost people won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that really resonated with me. This whole message that I've been looking at is just something that really spoke into my life. It's probably as much of a challenge to me as it might be to you. So we really need to speak the word and act out the word. We need to go out with loving acts of kindness. Because if we look at the Bible, we can see that God always gives us something before it's accepted. So we need to go out and we need to love people even though it might not be accepted. We need to give them the truth even though it might not be accepted. We need to live out the word. And once people understand the love that we are giving them, they'll want to know where that's coming from. So, why do we find it really hard to share God with people? Now, this is a challenge for me, because when we think about it, the hard bit is already being done. 2,000 years ago, God was the one who had to send his son to the cross, had to watch his son die, and all God's asking us to do is tell people about it. And that challenged me so much. Because really, the gospel is so simple. And somehow I think, sometimes we can complicate it, and sometimes we can think to ourselves that, how can we do that? How can I do that? And God's up there saying, "Right, I want you to tell this person about the love that I have for them." And I think, well, no, we can't do that. But 2,000 years ago, it was God who had to watch his son die. It was God who had to send his son to the cross. If we specifically look at verse 8 from the scripture that I read in Ephesians, it says that, "And it is not by our own doing, salvation and faith, it is the gift of God." So when we receive good gifts, we want to tell people. when we get a gift at Christmas, if somebody buys a new phone, or if somebody buys us our favourite box set, we tell our friends, don't we? We might come to church on the morning and might say, wow, look, this is what I got. What did you get? And I just think, if we get so excited about those things, we should get so excited about the gospel and about telling people about that. It should be the same with the gospel. I'm just going to get my water. So the next point that I found really interesting was that, and this is, I believe this is very important, just because we have a burden for the lost does not mean that we are not joyful. We can have sorrow of the lost at the same time as we have great joy in Christ. And it is because of the joy in Christ that we have in our hearts that we can have sorrow of those who are not yet saved. If we look at 2 Corinthians 6:10, it says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And it's so important to respond to the word and what God tells us to do and going out and telling people about the gospel, because we live in a society that is no longer a Christian society. There is no guarantee that if God tells you to talk to somebody and you don't and then they walk away, there's no guarantee that somebody else will. You know, God asks us to do these things for a reason. There might not be many people in our nation, there might not be many people in our village, but Scripture commands us to go and give the word to people. The society we live in should even be more of a reason to go and tell people. If we look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, it's the workers are few, and Jesus went throughout all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Yes. So you might think, what on earth has this got to do with what I'm saying? Well, my point is that we need to go out and tell people, then we will get a harvest, and then we have more people to go out and share the word. If we think about a field full of ripe strawberries, and if you've only got one person to harvest them, you're not going to get many strawberries picked. So, what the person who harvests the strawberries needs to do is they need to go out and tell people. They need to say, come on, get helping me. And then you have more people bringing a harvest. And when we tell someone about the gospel, and when it hits them, they'll tell somebody else. And then they'll tell somebody else, and then they'll tell somebody else. So the second point I want to make is that our primary motive for seeing lost souls saved should be for God's glory. Verse 10 says, of the scripture that I read, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So one commentator I read said, "And a reason why no man should glory, if we are God's workmanship, our salvation cannot be of ourselves. His workmanship we are." So we are his creation. We are created to do a specific work. We are created to go out and tell people for his glory. And we are a spiritual creation created to do things for God's glory. Now this is, I'll read the parable of the lost coin now in Luke 15, 8 to 10. This is one of my favourite parables at the moment. I think it's just so amazing. It's only a few verses, but it just really speaks to me. It says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not lamp a light and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And wow, I just think that's so amazing. I'll read the Message version. I wouldn't usually sort of look at it, but I decided to look at it this week, and I thought it put it together very nicely. So it says, "Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she'll call her friends and neighbours, 'Celebrate with me, I found my lost coin.' Count on it, that's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one soul turns to God." I just think that's so amazing. You know, she loses one piece of silver, she finds it, she gets excited and tells everybody. Now imagine if we see one person saved, we should get so excited about it because there's a party happening in heaven, the angels are rejoicing, that we should get so excited over that because that is such a good thing, that someone has repented and is in God's family in eternal life with him. Where am I? Okay. It's not a long message, this. So now I just want to talk a bit about praying for the lost. And really, this is something that maybe we sort of need to think about how we pray for the lost. Conversation I had with Ian about the journey that the church is on. You know, we're thinking about how we might think about differently about things for healing, praying for healing in our lives. And one of those things as well is how we pray for the lost as well. Because God does not want to see any lost person perish. 1 John 2:2 says, "He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but the sins of the whole world." You know, we can come here and we think, Jesus died for me, and yes, he did, that's amazing, but it shouldn't stop there. The minute we walk out the door, and the minute that we're in here, it should always be about what God has also done for other people. If we look at scripture, Jesus wept over the spiritual condition of the city of Jerusalem. And we as a church, how should we respond to this? Well, really, we should be a hospital for the spiritually wounded. There's so many people out there hurting, and we need to welcome them with open arms and share that love with them. We need to welcome people into the truth that Jesus brings. Okay, so how do we pray for the lost then? So we thank God for the price that has already been paid. You know, the scripture that I read, 1 John 2:2, whether people accept it or not, he's died for them. And that is so sad that if people don't accept that, he still died for them. So we need to tell people. We need to pray and speak or salvation into their lives. We need to take our authority as believers. We need to pray that they will hear that word and that we will be willing to share that word. I'll just read Romans 10 verses 14 to 17. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how they are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?'" I just think that's so amazing that unless we, as Gail was sharing at the start, unless we tell people, people aren't going to know. We need to tell people. So, now, I think it would be good if we pray for the lost. So I know that I should hope that we've all got people in our lives that we want to be saved. So what I'd like to do is if everybody could just close their eyes. And if you've got somebody in your life that you really want to see saved, you might think, I've been praying for this person for years. You might think, I just want to see breakthrough. They might have an extremely difficult situation and they need God in their lives. If you just put your hand up, and then I'll just pray into those situations. Okay, I'll just pray now. God, we thank you for your salvation, Lord. We thank you that it has already been done. Lord, I thank you that it's not because of anything that we've done. Lord, but you see the hands here raised, Lord. You see the situations behind them, Lord. You know the people who need saving, Lord. You know our friends, our family members. Lord, I just pray salvation into their lives, Lord. May this week, may there be people who cross their paths. Lord, may we be people who go out there ready to share the gospel, Lord. Do something in our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts for the lost, but give us the joy of Christ inside us, Lord. Amen. Lord, I just pray for anybody who may have already heard the gospel in the past and has turned around and said no. Lord, I just pray that that will come back to their memories, Lord. Yeah. I pray that then somebody will come along and tell them about it again and again and again. Lord, yeah. I pray that that will speak into their hearts, Lord. Amen. Lord, I pray that we will see salvation in this nation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.